So this is basically, I kind of made it up as a chain reaction sort of like panel. So the plan is that we get a question started, give some thoughts about that question, and then call someone else up to actually participate in the panel. I brought up the person's chair that I'm going to call out, so I would appreciate, however this works out, like the next person who I'm going to call out, to bring up another chair, since it's the least you can do for the person you're going to call out to come up on stage. In general, hopefully, by the end of this, we have a decent amount of people here. If you do want to participate, which I guess is where things kind of go a bit out there, but maybe you raise your hand and someone will call you out. I already have someone in mind. Unfortunately, I don't see him here. Maybe he knew, but if I do see him, and I'm not wearing my glasses, if I do see him, I will call him out. So anyway, I put a list of topics together to kind of discuss for a panel, and so just sort of expand on that and just allow for this to be a bit of a free-flowing conversation, because I think that's beneficial because it'll get more people involved, and those who are very strong and feel strong and passionate about something will definitely, I imagine, want to speak, right? So, what's that? Yes. Matter of fact, we can do that. The AWS, right? The AWS geekos here. So I guess we'll say the first four. Oh no, there's five. There's six actually. I'm gonna call the fifth person selected gets the big one. How's that? The fifth person selected gets the big plushie. So, one of the topics that I had put out there was, or in the list of questions I have that could fit the panel is, how should open source communities address the unresolved legal and licensing issues surrounding AI? And so this is a topic that it becomes, obviously we're at this point where it becomes very difficult, because I think that Pandora's box has been opened and there's going to be a lot of actions to take that need to take place, that they're going to have to somehow rein in what is going on. And that's sort of what I think an open source modeling AI could definitely work with, right? But we have to figure that out. And then, I just think that this is a very interesting topic that we could definitely expand upon. So, David, I'm gonna pick you to come on up. And sorry you don't get the big one. And you know what? We could adjust rules to this. You could potentially give your plushie away, right? If you have one. I mean, it's a good way to go, right? I'll just take that one.
No, that's fine. It's there. Hey, if you don't know who I am, I'm David Duncan. I run a partner solutions architecture team at Amazon for Linux partners. I don't work on Amazon Linux. I don't have anything to do with any of the services. I'm very specifically goaled on working with our Linux partners. So I'm coming to you from the perspective here of the community and my insight on what's happening around this world, because every day someone asks me the question. They say, "What's your policy for AI in the Linux partner team?" And I say something like, "Run it." And so, specifically, I see most of us focusing and dwelling on exactly that, like the hardware support, the insurance that we have, all of the plumbing that is correct. If you look at any of the machine learning stacks that have been like common for since 1998, you'll see that they really just don't have a lot more than just the plumbing to make this work. But today, people are getting sued for the content that is included. And now I'm going to talk about my very unpopular triggering idea here, is that I think that the Granite Labs configuration and the use of the information system model in InstructLabs is pretty solid. And I wonder why we have not come up with an information system that identifies and catalogs the content that is included in a large language model deployment or training that is easily visible, easily cataloged, and very much open source friendly. That way people can say, I don't want this information included unless you pay me. I do want this information included if you pay me, or if you don't, even if you don't pay me. And basically get to this part where we're getting what I would consider to be an architectural decision record as a part of the process of training a model.
You can bring up another question. He can bring up another question and pick on someone else in the crowd. And you do that, and I'll get their chair since you didn't bring up a chair. But whoever you pick,
oh, shit,
they need to bring up a chair for him.
So sorry. Okay. I'm looking around the room. So another thing I'm very interested in is just going to be... I'm going to pick on Patrick. I'm going to start by picking on Patrick. I see him back there. So in developing this whole concept around the GECO Foundation, and I'm super proud of you for doing this, you know, for taking the initiative and being a great owner in our community. But I would like to know what you see as this next year's primary directive, and how you intend to build out the structure of the community around this.
Patrick, come on up.
I hope that's not a
terrible
question.
Don't forget the chair.
No, I'll get it for him.
Oh yeah, we could do that. Like, we can make that the rule. That could be the rule.
There you go.
You can have a seat if you want.
Okay. Are we ready? No. So my answer is no comment. Sorry. I think one of the things we need to get some clarity, obviously, with SUSE. What's going on in that particular realm is how they're going to deal with us, even if they're going to choose us as the GECO Foundation, which is already there, to represent the open source community. I think our next 12 months are going to be spent fundraising and going to as many events as we can, really, because we're getting a growing amount of funds together that will enable us to run booths and travel to different events. So, okay. Hello.
Yes.
Okay. So, did everyone hear what I was just saying? Yeah, good. Okay, and that's it. So, thank you for the all the compliments. So, what's next?
Yeah.
Let's see. Jeff. What's the future of Leap? That's what this is all about, apparently.
So I don't have a real answer for this. We were talking last night about, you know, a couple of different options. And really, it's an ongoing discussion based on what the project wants and what SUSE is willing to contribute. And I don't see any reason why we wouldn't contribute to the SLES 16 binaries. Don't take that as a commitment. That's just my personal opinion. But we need to figure out if that makes sense for the project. Because just some of the conversations we were having last night are a quarter to a third of the packages in Leap come from SLES, and that introduces some challenges for the project. And so does that model really continue to make sense for everybody? And so that's a dialogue we'll need to have. And so I can't really give you a clear answer because it's honestly not my choice to make. But Lubash, you want to come up here?
Oh, I was going to ask you one more question about this. So one of the things that I see about this is that's interesting to me is that with the Open SUSE model for Leap, there's not a whole lot of I don't see fright in the face of anyone around trademark removal or anything of that kind of experience. But as we migrate to some other foundation, say, or another project model. Do you foresee some sort of more aggressive trademark removal and replacement?
If we are going to change the trademark, then yeah, I think we would need to be clear about removing any logos that were already there, which is more than we're doing now. But I mean, there's plenty of precedent for other projects doing that successfully. The what team?
The SIN team, the mainframe.
Actually, the question I have is so I've brought up. I need to figure out who I want to ask this to. I suppose Lubash is as good as anybody to come up. I've been sort of over the past day and a half or so, we've been talking about, you know, the rebranding, but I also think this is an opportunity to redefine the core of what the project is in ways that can make it much more easily accessible to new community members. And I'm curious if Lubash has any ideas in this space as well.
Thank you for bringing the chair, Lubash. Much appreciated.
For me, I think very important. Should I say it or stand now? I will say it. I think that it's important to actually figure out who makes the decision, because I feel like at some point we say let's figure out what community wants, and on the other side you see product management saying, well, you have to use binaries when you change the idea. So I'm thinking, should it be SUSE product management, and then it really should be SUSE Leap, in my opinion, or should it be community, and then we should choose? I can see how all of these scenarios make sense in a way. There are trade-offs for each. I'm not necessarily in 100% preference of, I don't know, reusing binaries. I think that if we would rebuild binaries, it makes my life easier. Reusing brings some extra value that I really appreciate too, and I see that partners can use it and so on. But who makes the decision? And who sticks to the plan? Because we've changed it 2 years ago, 3 years ago in 15.3, and now we are revisiting it again. So was it a good choice? I don't know. We were expecting that we will do a lot of migrations. I've seen some data. We do that. Our customers do that. Not so much as we would like to. I don't know. Should we change it more often? And really, who makes that decision? That would help me a lot. And will people listen long term? So should I call somebody? Yeah, any questions on that? Okay. If Stefan would be on the previous position, I would totally invite him, you know. But he's not, so I don't know. Actually, I would like to know your private opinion on who should own the decision. Where does the, should I call it project, OpenSSL, or should I call it product? I will call it project, it's not product. Where should be the project leap specifically heading? Who should own the decision? It's one thread SUSE and rest is community, basically. But mostly contributed by Max, because he takes what's already in factory. So SUSE. Private opinion, not necessarily product management statement, right?
Like, Dave vacated the spot, at least so you don't need to take it up. But it's good. It's fine.
I will do whatever people, management chain, tell me to do, right? That's, I will respect that, but.
Thanks, Lubos.
I bet you didn't think you'd be up here this weekend.
So, let me start there with a little bit of background. The main thing is, and Lubos knows this, that in a previous role I was one of the drivers of the closing the leap gap, which resulted in some of the good and some of the bad effects on both sides. I am here privately speaking, not in my role that I now have at SUSE, which is responsible for a management tool, the SUSE Manager. Let me say one thing. Leap is not standing independent of SLES because we have Package Hub. And as a user outside, I know a lot of customers which are using an enterprise distribution or a Leap, but also have the Package Hub because there are a lot of things inside that they need that are not inside of Leap directly or inside of a commercial product. So when we make a decision here, we should keep that in mind. SUSE is advertising that there are literally tens of thousands of packages inside, which is good for both Leap as well as the enterprise product. As a community member, I would wish that SUSE is accepting that this is an important part and spending help to the community to keep that alive, because we will see the problem here when 15.6, 15.7, I know, and 16 comes. And speaking now as a SUSE employee, I would like also to see the community accepting that there are advantages also for them. So if you ask me who should make the decision, and I'm speaking here with both of my hats, I would say it's not one side or the other. If one side is not playing along, then it will be problematic. And I think there are enough people who can speak for either side and sit together. And that's what community is all about, collaboration. It's about making things work. It's not about one says, we go this way, and everybody follows. Yes, you can do that. But in a lot of cases, if you're lost in the wilderness, you discuss a little bit, and you find your way. And maybe it's now time to discuss that also. I unfortunately missed your talk yesterday about 15.7, but if 15.7 is not coming, then there is already a problem on the horizon, and we need to discuss. I hope this answered in a long way your question, and I'm sorry for the long answer.
It's tricky, yeah. I think that it's correct answer, but I also think that we have to look at, like, are we doing badly right now with Leap, or do we need to challenge it constantly with the decision that was made 3 years ago and, you know, when to challenge it? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, the question is, what is the purpose of Leap? And depending on how you answer it, and there are several answers.
Of course.
you get a different answer than on your question if it's bad or good. And I would like to see at least one female face up here. And I give that question from Lubos towards you too. Because I think that's one that is important for the future.
Yes, I am Sarah. I'm at the site of Lubos, also in the release engineering team responsible for S390X architecture, and I like collaboration and the value of collaboration, therefore I would be also for that, but I have got one wish. If you want to collaborate with us continuously, then we cannot remove our OpenSUSE name. I have to say, sorry, that is a shared value of us both. You are using also the OpenSUSE community for advertising and everything else. We are here together with you. You are also allowed to use slide decks by SUSE at an OpenSUSE conference. Therefore, I would be that we can continuously use also our OpenSUSE name for advertising and everything else, because nobody knows the name of our small chameleon Giko at the moment outside of a community. What would be afterwards? If we should remove our name, I have to say, then we have need the complete split, and Leap has to become of our foundation. And with that, I would see the future Leap again based on Tumbleweed, as we did that in the past with our development model. And then you would lose also OpenSUSE backports, which is package hub, and that would damage also SUSE. I have to say, I know many customers from SUSE who are reaching out to us in the OpenSUSE community if they need support for OpenSUSE backports. And I like collaboration. I want to continue with that, but we should do that also together via our foundation, and the split should not be required. Do you want to say something about that? Does anybody else wants to say something about that? Anybody SUSE employee or something like that?
But people on the panel can also speak up.
Let me add one answer or one comment, not
yes,
challenging you in that regard. I mean, we see with slow roll, there's a need also from the community side to have something between an enterprise stable version with all its advantages and disadvantages and the fast moving tumbleweed. If Leap is the answer to that, apparently not. Otherwise, we wouldn't see slow roll. But I'm an old guy. And when I joined SUSE, the discussion about how fast should a distribution roll was already an old one, and it has not gone better. We found answers year after year. There is, I think, no ideal world. Is Leap the best answer? Maybe, maybe not. Depends on your point of view. Is slow roll the best answer? Well, maybe, maybe not. Think about all the discussions we have about immutable or not immutable. We will always have that, but we need also to be careful to not split up too much. Because think about Linux at one point in time was in the danger of getting into too much flavors and to split up and not to be compatible. That was always the advantage of some of the operating systems. We have seen with Unix, I'm a really old guy, that this can easily happen, that you split up so much that you get no longer of interest. We need to be careful to not split up into so many distributions that pure consumers, and I count me as a pure consumer in that regard, are sitting there and wondering, what should I take? And we are already close to that point, in my opinion.
Yeah, you guys all know it. And ladies, if you go to a restaurant and you have like 150 items on the menu, like it takes you much longer to pick one you want, right? And we don't want to get there. We are slowly getting there. I hope that Unified Installer could help a little bit. Like you have one downloadable and you move the issue of selection to later step. And maybe over the time we can reduce it. But
it... Now I want to talk again.
Yeah, then.
Ben, I bring all you right. back.
Thank you. So I just want to say that we've gone through this with like every computer language ever, right? Like, you know, this is the story of TickleTK right here. This is in just a very short amount of time. It was like a wonderful little language that you could use everywhere. And then all of a sudden it was a wonderful little language with a bunch of libraries. And then it was a bunch, and it was a lot more libraries. And then it was like, you know what? Screw this. We're going to use Perl. Right. Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's all right. Yeah. I mean, Java became the language that ultimately replaced it in many cases, or one of many other languages used in manufacturing. But the whole idea was like each one of them had a relatively small number of choices. It was wonderful. Everybody loved it. Then it became very complex and top heavy. And so they switch to the next best thing.
We need to avoid that.
Yes. When I think about we want to receive other points of view from default employees, I would say, who are also interacting pro-community, therefore, how about Ignaz? What is your opinion about the future with OpenSUSE and SUSE?
I'm getting out of here. No, you can take mine.
Take mine. I mean, I started as SUSE because I was able to work on open source there. I mean, what I absolutely love with SUSE is the factory first policy. That's something I always admired, and I'm really glad we have it. And practically all of our code is open source. So, yeah, SUSE is one of the few companies, in my opinion, of the Linux distributions, which can really say everything we do is open source. Does that answer your question?
Yes, and the future in collaboration.
Collaboration, yeah. I mean, we have to take care because what I learned, my personal opinion, what I learned from Leap is that it's probably not sustainable by the community itself in its current size. That's my personal opinion. So if we would do it separately without relying on the SUSE code base, I'm not sure whether it would actually work in the future. With the Gikuk Foundation or becoming more independent from SUSE, that may be a chance. I mean, I'm too old to not know SUSE because it was my first distribution and I'm really attached to the SUSE name itself. So OpenSUSE is, something I really like. If we wanted to start from scratch, dropping the OpenSUSE part, using Gikuk Foundation or whatever as a prefix or non-prefix at all, we would need very good marketing. I mean, we can see that new distributions can get a large market share in a short time. We have seen that with numerous distributions. If you have a look at DistroWatch, the distributions you saw in the top list 10 years ago are totally different from the distributions you are currently seeing there. But yeah, it would need really good marketing. And we, I mean, not everybody is fond of SUSE as a company behind it. We have also heard that yesterday. that's, yeah, my personal opinion. Yeah.
That's a good point with the new distributions. I think a new name is also not just a danger, but it's also a challenge and it's an opportunity. Because let's be honest, even 15 years after we switched that Yast is not manipulating config files without notice, people are still blaming SUSE for doing this. We hear issues, things, and a new name is always a chance to get rid of ballast, of things that are there. Of course, you also lose something, the good associations. But let's not see it with a fearful eye, but with a hopeful eye. And as a user, yes, I hope that SUSE is spending billions on marketing then for the new name, on enabling, of helping to start up, and of influencing. But that's my private opinion in that regard. And I'm pretty sure, knowing SUSE, that SUSE will not let, however the name is, its upstream stand alone in the dark. I trust they're in SUSE, because SUSE is also the people inside, and a lot of those people come from the community or are part of the community. And we should not forget that. So let's see it also as a chance, as an opportunity, and not just as something that's fearful. I know future is always uncertain, but sometimes that's good.
When I want to speak as an open SUSE ambassador from this role about that, if I should tell you something about open SUSE booths, as open source expos and at conferences, I can tell you the people are reaching out to us because there is an open SUSE Linux distribution, we want to speak to you. If the people wouldn't know about our name change or something like that, they would be there. What is that for a project? Is that a new Linux distribution? Is that anything else? Which open source project is that? If you don't, if you are a new user, okay. You are saying, okay, I want to test it, but if you want to keep all users and if you want to be well known for the quality of within the community and everything else, then you need that. Your example with Yast, that is an integrated software of SUSE Linux Enterprise and OpenSUSE. Then you can rename it easier because the users know, where is less, where is OpenSUSE, where is a tool what I can use to configure automatically. That's easier, but with a new Linux distribution, that's more difficult. And yes, I want to bring Neil to... Then I want to give it to Neil.
I officially have to ask you a question before you're allowed on stage. what do you want to say, and how can we get more contributors like you?
Well, what do I want to say? I want to say... I hate being set up. I feel like this is what's happened right now. But I think one of the things that I've experienced over the years is that the only real constant you have is change, and being able to accept that and roll with the punches is pretty much the only way that you're able to grow and evolve. One thing I've kind of felt over the years being involved in OpenSUSE is that we don't handle change that well. And it kind of reflects in how we have our brand and how we talk to people and what we advocate and what we show. I used to talk to Doug about talking points whenever I would go to events to talk about the distributions I'm involved in and to attract people. And one of the questions I would always have is there something new or interesting for me to advocate about that makes what we're doing exciting and interesting for people to feel invigorated to do something unique and interesting, building on top of it? For most of the time that I have been involved in OpenSUSE, the only point that we had was Tumbleweed, which is interesting, mind you. But then when I take it to someone, and like we used to have the daily reports, which then turned into the weekly and then later monthly reports on the news because it's less overwhelming that way. The kind of thing that comes out of that is people have kind of noticed that while we are rolling, we're not fast at rolling. And that is not looked on super positively by people who I try to attract to bring into the community. The general image problem that we kind of have is that we seem to be where Linux was 10, 15 years ago. And that's not necessarily all bad, right? Like, there are certain qualities from that era that I like, particularly around being optimized around flexibility, being able to do, you know, all kinds of quirky things, right? But some of those things are less nice. Like, I still don't understand how the partitioner UI works in Yast. And it's been like 10 years and I still don't get it. A lot of the tooling that you're in when you're in the final desktop environment seems to lag behind what other distributions are offering in terms of user experiences, and it makes us look staid or stodgy or things like that. In the last couple of years, we've started really changing that, like de-emphasizing Yast for more of the integrated tooling that's in the desktops, moving things forward and updating the stack for managing system resources and things like that, doing new interesting things like the user Etsy stuff and going towards this concept of stateless Linux that Intel pioneered like 10 years ago. We're doing these things. We don't talk about it much, but we are doing them. And so I've started like kind of compiling my own little list of interesting things that we're doing. But then we have the fact that people associate the brand with all the things of 10 and 15 years ago. And on top of that, there's all these bad blood reputation things. There's Novell Microsoft, which people still remember, even though it's been almost 18 years since that happened. And there's Yast stuff, as Stefan brought up before, and things like that. I think the best thing we could do for ourselves is kind of birth a new identity for ourselves and try to make it more like what we are now than what people imagine that we are, that we were before. And so that's the part I'm really excited about, is just trying to give a better face for us and also take an opportunity to take stock of what we actually are and start highlighting those things. Like, what do we do? What makes us great? And start working on the parts that what we suck at, like communication, coordination, all these other things. Like, we can do better at those sorts of things. And a lot of times, perception is what can drive change. It's, again, this is sort of kind of a rambly thing. It's just, in general, I just have felt that we seem to be held back more by our own perception of us and what everyone else perceives of us than what we could if we kind of started afresh. And I think this is the reason why we see so many new distributions with having so much more exciting, even if they're doing far less work or even no work at all, they're getting way more press than we are. And that's, it's again, perception.
So I agree with a lot of what you said, and I view the renaming as an opportunity, as sort of a rebirth, as long as it comes with a lot of things that redefine how we operate. And I think part of that is introducing, well, actual teams. So decisions and initiatives and communication and marketing aren't so quite ad hoc. And so, like, you know, people are actually feel ownership of a certain thing rather than just, hey, I put my hand up and, you know, I'm too busy this week, it can't happen. And not pointing fingers, I'm just saying, like, you know, without any sort of coordinated effort, that's just how things end up.
Yeah, it's always been, it's been a general problem. And, like, I've tried to tackle it in bits and pieces where I can, like Leap with Lubosch, and now doing this new thing with OpenSUSE Cloud with Dominic and a few others. But, like, this is an endemic problem all over the place, and we should absolutely take a firmer look at addressing it.
I think it's, I'm continuing on from, I think it's almost also a bit of a chicken and egg problem, because in some cases the reason there hasn't been teams is because the only person doing the work is Doug. And we try and bring people in, and keeping the consistency there has been a challenge, and I certainly think it's something we need to improve on. And I agree the ideal way would be to have a lot more teams and those teams making decisions. But at the end of the day, other than the people SUSE's paying for very specific roles, everyone in the community is a volunteer and they get busy and they do other things. And so I think we need to keep our structure flexible enough that we can empower the people who have the time and who want to volunteer and who want to continue. But at the same time, we also have to find a way that if those people aren't around and SUSE doesn't have budget to pay for that, then where there's nothing happening at the moment, and maybe a foundation and giving a foundation certain budget that it can pick its needs and invest there is also a good solution.
I want to expand that from the perspective of a community without any SUSE employment. I wanted to create content, images for AWS in the past also, and when I reached out to receive any responsible person, that was Ludwig before Lubosch, when he created the connection between SUSE Cloud and myself, and then there was the statement, we have got only the SUSE account, we have to do that. We don't need any volunteers. And that was the point where I said, okay, if I cannot support you, then I let you alone with that. And that was so often, you need any responsible person with leadership decisions. I joined the board afterwards also. And yes, most was any SUSE decision or SUSE legal problem then. And therefore, that was the case in the past so often that you are saying as an OpenSUSE member, okay, I have to become a SUSE employee or I have to do some packaging stuff, upstream integration into OpenSUSE or something like that. But that I was allowed to become a team lead of OpenSUSE systems for creating the relationships between SUSE, IBM, OpenSUSE and everything else, that was an exception from my point of view.
So, Jeffy, you had something to say, and then we're going to finish it off there because our time's getting there.
Sure. So I think the second part of, you know, just it's not enough just to say we need more teams. But the other half of what me as, you know, both a community member and a SUSE employee would like to see is a different kind of governance that doesn't focus quite so much on SUSE's ownership of it. And I think the foundation is a good start for that. And in terms of, you know, using the cloud image example, now that there is a foundation, the images could say, you know, this is still involves the governance to make this happen, to make the foundation an official part of the project and all that. But then once the foundation is, you know, officially recognized as part of that, then the OpenSUSE project can create its own accounts on AWS and actually generate its own income that way. And so, I mean, I think it's all part of a bigger picture that this could be like the step forward. And the thing is, it's not as if we need to reinvent this stuff. There's successful distributions that operate under this model with corporate relationships. I mean, I don't know the Fedora internals. I think their processes work, but I think they're relatively controlled by Red Hat. I look at Ubuntu, and I was talking with Rick Spencer yesterday, who used to lead the project, and outside of, you know, a general, you know, if there's, you know, to borrow the Linus Torvalds term, the benevolent dictator for life role above the committees, I think if there needs to be more self-governance, and if you need somebody in SUSE leadership to get some things moving, ask me. I'm the VP of Linux Systems.
Can I just, like, 10 seconds? 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Public cloud images ownership is currently being discussed by Dominic. We actually gave him cons and pros, and we know that it's sometimes difficult to give up on ownership, but it seems to be on a bright side. And in that way, you will be happy, you will be happy, I'll be happy that images are released, because Leap Micro Image is not released. That's all.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it. thank you for everyone who participated, and hopefully it was useful. So, thanks.